we're going to leave this time up for a testimony time. And Mr. George, two things. I don't know if there's also some folks that are sitting outside. Okay, you're awesome. Audio's already out there, and I don't know if we're live streaming.
Actually, just came up.
Oh, praise the Lord. Ooh, thank you, Lord. The last few weeks, okay, for those of you who are just logging on or getting, man, it's been rough. Somebody even told me this morning, came in here and just wanted said, I just want to thank you so much for the live streams that you're doing. My neighbor, my friend, just been watching it, and they watched your, I don't know, 2 weeks ago, this teaching that you get three times already. It gives comfort, gives hope. We got lots of texts saying from folks that are still watching online saying that, hey, please, 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 why hasn't it been online the last couple weeks? It's just been a little bug in the software that we've upgraded. They sent us a beta test. George has installed it. And Lord willing, you're seeing me live online right now, and you'll be watching it later. Okay, all right, good. All right, so there's folks even in Michigan this year. Fantastic. All right, so here's what we're going to do. So this is the reason why it's scary for me is because I don't have anything absolutely planned. What? I'm trusting that the Holy Spirit, well, this is called a testimony service. So Pastor Gary and I are up here, Cowboy Gary, Cowboy Pastor. And what we're going to do is we're just going to leave this as a time for testimony. And what we'd like to do, you guys all, everybody received one of those thankful tracks, correct? Is there anyone who didn't get one of those? I want to make sure. Okay. All right. Elijah, would you? Okay, good. All right. Well, that was quick. You guys are good. And that's required reading this morning because it is a very difficult time for a lot of people, isn't it? You know, I can just speak for myself. 2020, boy, that has been a kick in the teethers. Right? Especially, yeah. I don't know. I think especially for a lot. I was just being a little, but honestly, for a lot of folks. I know I've got a procedure that I'm going in tomorrow, and then one more surgery in December, which, by the way, so I don't forget, Pastor Paul Cowley, who runs Disciple, you think I was afraid to get it wrong. Sorry, he's probably watching online. Sorry about that. Disciple Support Ministries, he's been here many times. He's going to come and teach. He teaches in the slums, the worst slums of Africa, has been doing it for decades. So we're going to have him come out next month. Well, I'll be out for a few weeks for my surgery, my incisional hernia. That'll be fun, like a stick in the eye fun. And so what we're going to do now is we'd like to open it up to you guys in just a moment for a testimony time. Now, a testimony time is not a time where we talk about how great we are. Does that make sense? The only you can share about how great you're doing or how where you've come from or what, that's okay. But the main goal in all this is to give glory to who? That's right. We're magnifying the name of Jesus Christ, right? Magnify the Lord with me and let us exalt his name together. So any testimony you have, whether you're thankful for his heart that he's shown you maybe during this time, his heart of compassion, his heart of care, maybe you're thankful for his word, his promises that have shown to you that they're precious, that they're true. Maybe his Holy Spirit who has guided you, has spoke certain things into your heart and your life, and made things jump off the page from his word to you. Whatever it is, you know, his church, his people, whatever it is, we would like you, and yes, it's scary to come up here and grab a microphone and share. And yes, I'm going to make you come and sit up here for a minute. You can share for a minute or two or three or four or something that you're thankful for. But it needs to be directing people to the Lord. And let me tell you something. Who was it that told me this? Oh, man, it was so good. Somebody told me it doesn't matter what you say as long as you're directing people to the Lord. You don't know who you're affecting. You don't know what your words, from your perspective, are directing people to. You don't know how you're helping people. You don't know how you're encouraging people. So, honestly, I can realize it gets a little scary up here. Okay? It can. But I wanted to encourage you to do it anyway. And to focus on the Lord. And you tell people what a great God you have. What an amazing Lord that you have through the struggles. Listen, is there anyone in here in 2020 who can honestly say, And if there is, I guess I should make you feel bad. That they're prancing through the posies, that everything has just been rosy posy all 2020. Okay. Okay, good. I can speak really. So you notice nobody raised their hand. That means we're all struggling, right? Miss Neely said this is a family, and it is. Now, sometimes in a family, you got some dysfunction, right? But let me tell you, in God's house, it's the best dysfunctional family going. Okay? There are people here who are willing to minister to you, that genuinely love you, that care about you in Jesus' name, and with no strings attached. And that's pretty wonderful. There's a, Pastor Gay, would you grab your stool, your fancy schmancy? I was going to say heavy duty stool. Ooh, I get in trouble for that one. Oh, Gary, give me later. All right.
Pastor,
yes. No, we only invite certain people in the service. No, just kidding. No. Some folks are they want to be here with us, but they're more comfortable because of the outside. And so we've got speaker systems set up out there. Soon we'll have a video so that folks, like some folks still want to watch us online. They're not comfortable in coming in yet. We want to make sure that everybody is comfortable. So they know that they're loved, they're appreciated, they're here, they're invited. They're just more comfortable outside. And we'll get to talk to them when we all go outside. Okay? I was going to read a psalm, but Pastor Gary, do you have any words before as I'm looking up the psalm?
Well, I think, I'm blessed being in the center, being with the prayer group, and that I get to see little testimonies just about every day of the week, places where God's touched. I mean, I can look through everybody here, and so many of you, I see the testimonies. Now it's your place to share them this morning, and that. But you know, what does he say? That you know, we come to know by the word of our testimony. We encourage others. We encourage ourselves by our testimonies, and that's always been true, Darren.
Yeah, it says in the Psalms that he places the lonely in families. He places the lonely around people who actually love you. And so if you're feeling lonely today, you're not alone. Because the Lord loves you and we love you. And you're saying, whoop-de-doo. Well, maybe so. But at least it's genuine and at least it's from the Lord. Do you know what I mean, Jelly Beans? All right. In Psalm, I'm not going to teach, Gary, you said don't teach. In Psalm 69...
I'm not giving you 20 minutes on one song.
Right. Okay, so, 60 seconds. I'm just going to read 60 seconds. Okay. This is Psalm 69. I'm just going to read it because I want you to know, even in the scriptures, listen, people have cried out to the Lord, and that's where you might be right now. Listen, save me, O God, for the waters have come up to my neck. Don't you feel that way sometimes? Like I'm drowning. Like, oh my gosh, I can't even, right? And the Lord is there to reach out and save you. He says, save me, O God, for the waters have come up to my neck. I sink in the miry depths where there is no foothold. I have come into deep waters and the floods engulf me. I am worn out calling for help and my throat is parched. My eyes fail looking for my God. And so in the end, of course, you know, that in the end of the psalm, he continues on and saying, but yet I trust in the Lord, yet my hope is in him, yet I am faithful to him. And so if you're in that position today, that's okay. You praise the Lord anyway. You give him a sacrifice of praise because his good and his love endures forever. And it's easy to focus on the negative, right? But I think of like Pastor Paul. Oh, I'm dropping tracks. I think of Pastor Paul, you know, if they can get water for the day where he lives, when he shares, they're super, that's not enforced by the mafia. They're excited. If they can get food for the day, right? If they're not beaten, they love the Lord. Thousands of them. We're training up pastors. Your Bibles that you're sending out go to that organization to help train up folks that will probably never leave that area. And they're rejoicing. And you know what? They pray for you. Doesn't that blow you away? He's told me this. We're praying for your body all the time. The pastors, the teachers, the leaders. You're getting prayed for. by folks in the worst slums of Africa, and they're so thankful to the Lord for you for supplying Bibles and for being here for them. Isn't that incredible? Our perspectives, right? Okay, so you've got the microphone up here. So Pastor Gary, would you take a minute and pray? And again, we just ask that you would keep it just to a few minutes. Again, just direct it about the Lord. And one last thing, when you're giving a testimony, some of us have come from really bad backgrounds and done some really bad things. You don't have to get into the intricate details as we've got kids here. You could say, I've struggled with drugs or I've struggled with this, if the Lord so leads you or whatever it is, you don't need to get into details about it, okay? We're just pointing it to the Lord. Does that make sense? Okay. All right, Pastor Gary, would you just open us up and then we'll call anybody who wants to come share.
Father God, we are so thankful that we have testimonies to share, Lord. Yes. That you have been part of our lives, in good times and in times where we struggle, Lord, you are always there with us. And so now, Lord, help us to celebrate those times. Lord, touch hearts. Bring to us those testimonies that you want us to hear. Yes. That will encourage us.
Yes.
That will embolden us.
Yes.
That will share and speak out to those who don't know you yet,
yes.
Lord.
Yes.
Use them that your name may be glorified and your people would be edified, would be drawn closer to you. And we thank you for what you're going to do in this time, Lord. In the name of our blessed Savior, Jesus, and all God's children said.
Amen. Amen. All right. Well, here we go, kiddos. So this is the trusting in the Lord part. Does anybody feel like they would like to start us off? Okay. Well, praise the Lord. Come, we're going to have you come up so that Jay can keep the camera. I know it's uncomfortable for you, Deb, but if you want a stool or you just want to stand here, it's up to you. Okay.
This goes back many, many years. Our son was an alcoholic. And I talked to Flo and her son about it. He helped me a little bit. And Jared has now accepted the Lord. He asked Mark and I to get him a Bible. They attend a very tiny little church in Alabama. And he even helped the minister. They had last week a homecoming meal, and the minister asked Jared to cook it, help serve it, and get to know people. So we're on an upward slope.
Thanks, Debbie. I love stories that end like that. Okay, who's next? Who's next? Oh, Stan. Come on up, Stan.
Hello, everybody. Morning. Well, the Lord has helped me in so many ways, I really don't know how to explain it. I'll just throw out a few examples. The wife and I, when we had our baby together, we needed a doorway, little thing, so he couldn't go anywhere. So we prayed about it, and next day I went to work, and lo and behold, somebody had thrown one out on the side there, brand new. So I took it home, praise the Lord, you know, it's praise the Lord. And so, as the day goes by, he gets a little older. He was playing with my guitar, and I thought, well, hon, we got to get him a guitar. And let's pray about it. So we prayed about it. Lo and behold, God's honest truth. I went to work the next day, and it was a guitar in the big dumpster that I have to pick up. Brand new, sitting there, little baby, little blue one, about that long. I thought, well, praise the Lord. So to me, that tells me that the Lord is listening if you're looking. And if you're looking for him, he's listening. And that's not the only time I went to. It's just little things that we need to be looking for the Lord that we might miss. And if we miss them, we'll miss our blessing. I went to Walmart, bought a whole bunch of stuff to sand down my tractor. I was working on it profusely. And I thought, my goodness, this stuff's going to cost me a fortune. I buy all this stuff. I get it home. I looked at the wife. I didn't buy no sandpaper. How am I going to paint it if I, you know, don't have any sandpaper? Well, it's a Sunday night. No, I thought, well, no, I don't want to go back to the store. Well, went to work the next day. Get on the first job site. Get out of my truck. Look down the ground. There's a brand new pack of sandpaper. 800 grit. I thought, well, there it is. Praise the Lord. You know? So, to me, I thought, well, thank you, God. Thank you, you know, thank you very much. Because it's, like I said, it's just the little things that might get away from you. And if you're looking, he's looking for you. And if you're listening, you can hear him. And that's, you know, don't miss your blessing on the little things that you don't see. And everything like that. The brother there was following me just a couple of days ago. And he said, man, did you see that? And I said, no, I didn't see it. He goes, that car just about T-boned you. I said, well, praise God. God didn't let him T-bone me. You know, it was the little things that go on around us that we never see. And I just hope that everybody, you know, would look a little harder for those little things that come at you that might change your life. In Jesus' name.
Thanks, Dan. You ever have the thought that the God who creates the universe, right? He throws stars into existence. I can't imagine. How do you speak a universe into existence, right? That the God is that big, cares about the littlest things in our life. That there's nothing, no prayer that's too big or too small for our God, right? I mean, you know, what's the passage? He counts the hairs on our heads, and I'm doing my best to make his work easy, but that's a different issue. Annette, okay, who's next? Come on up, Brett.
Hey, everybody. I thank the Lord for bringing me to this place, this church, and these people. It has been a checkered past, I'll say. It all started back in 1963 when I was a little. Oh, maybe I won't go that far back, but I first got saved back in the 90s at my dad's church in North Carolina, and since then we went to church fairly regular, but that was only a few years, and I drifted away pretty far away, long way away, so far you couldn't see me, and recently the Lord led my wife here, and she went here and started seeing a lot of changes in her. And I said, well, I want some of that. I need to get back. So she led me here through the Lord, or the Lord led her, or you know what I mean. And I've really kind of, it's kind of like a magnet. It's kind of just sucked me in. Wait, that's probably not the right words, but brought me in.
Drawn me in.
Thank you. And now I'm really happy I'm here, and that's what I have to be thankful for. I've had some checkered past, like I said, and being here since I've been here about a year, year and a half, I think a lot less about my material possessions that I have always been so, have coveted so, and I'm seeing a change in my own personality where those things aren't as important anymore as people are to me. So, and it's all because God's brought me here. So, thank you.
Thanks, Brad. Isn't that true, though, that when we follow the Lord, it changes our lives, and it makes a difference to those around us, and they see it. Okay, there's somebody out here who has a testimony to share, but is reluctant, and the Lord is kind of tugging on your heart right now. Who is that person? Anthony, what? No, no. That's not, oh, you're raising your hand, but it's not you. What is that? What is that?
Anyway, we don't know if that was the call.
Okay, well, no, come on. You're going to have to share the mic. All right.
I keep going. I just want to praise God for marital restoration. For the biggest thing. In short, I was going down a really bad path in our marriage. God's given me all the warning signs I needed to have. You know, neon lights flashing the whole nine yards, and I ignored a lot of it. I think it's in Hosea. I'm not 100% where I saw it, but I was in a really, really dark place due to my sin that was catching up to me, to where I was in a bad depression, anxiety attacks. I mean, I feel like I'm a pretty tough guy for the most part. I was crying like a two-year-old most of the time, you know, and just was breaking, and I couldn't understand why at the time. And the thing is, I think it's Hosea. It says that, you know, the Lord will come at you like moths, just kind of poking at you, kind of giving these little warnings, and I ignored those warnings. And because of that, the next phrase comes in to where he'll come to you as a lion and gouge it out of you. And I truly felt what gouging meant, the ripping inside of the sin in my life, you know, with our marriage. You want to know? With our marriage, my wife saw the signs of where I was heading to, and I ignored my wife, you know, as far as like, no, that's not happening. No, that's not me, you know, until different things started happening, until it really got to a bad ending. And, you know, I pretty much thought I was done with. You know, I hurt my wife. I couldn't even look at my wife in the eyes without just breaking to a point of, there's no coming back from this. There's just no way I could ever say I'm sorry enough. There's no way I could ever make up for this. There's no way that I could even feel better about myself, you know, with all this. You know, this is possible to ever get rid of this feeling, you know. But, you know, the Lord touched my wife's heart. I let her talk, you know, to her. She didn't leave me, you know. She stayed with me. We, thanks to Gary and the Lord, we had a lot of marital counseling. And I think we're at a stronger point than ever at this point in our lives right now that we've learned to communicate, we've learned to talk to each other, we've learned to be honest with each other. You know, I think we learned a lot of things that made each other tick and go the wrong way, you know, at times. I wanted to blame shift on my wife all the time, my problems. You know, I always want to think, you know, something's better down the road, this is better life over here, or I'm missing something. You know, and it was just really, you know, God placed the right woman in my life. I just had to have my eyes open up and accept that, you know. And as I say accept it as not as settling, you know. I got the top of the cream of the crop, I guess you can say. So, you know, so I want to thank her for staying around too. So
I'd like to say I did it all graciously, but I did not. I had to learn that I cannot change a person's heart. Only God can change his heart. So it was a lot of prayer. It was a lot of fighting because I was trying to change his heart. You know, I thought that that I could do it. But I'm so thankful for what the Lord's done. And it is a plug for Married and How to Stay That Way, the book. Incredible. We started it a few years ago with Darren, and we never finished it. And you know, part of me can say, oh, gosh, I wish we would have done it then. Maybe we wouldn't have gone through some of the things we've gone through. But God's timing is perfect timing. And, you know, maybe his heart wasn't right to receive the book at that time. And it is now. And I can't thank Gary enough for all the hours and the abuse that he took from us sometimes. And the book, if there's any married couple out there that that book is, it's really very, it's not even just the book, though. It just really does open your eyes, but it, the communication through it. I mean, we just realized so much, and we're just so thankful, you know. So now February will be 25 years, so that's it. Thank you.
You know, the truth that I see in that, though, that really only God can change a heart. You know, I don't think we can even really change our own hearts. We can be in agreement with God for what he wants for our hearts, and that only he can do it. Okay, who's next? Who's next? Betty, come on up. We can be patient.
I asked for prayer for one of my patients. You know, well, they put her on hospice, and she was going downhill. I mean, she'd go to sleep, and she'd be in such a deep sleep, we'd pick her up and shake her, and she wouldn't wake up, but she was alive. She was wheelchair-bound, told she would never walk again. She's outrunning me in the house. I can't keep up with her. So I want to thank y'all for your prayers, because she's off of hospice. She's doing well, and she's there 1 minute, and I turn around, and she's gone. And I'm like, look, slow down. And I got a blessing this week. I got to spend the whole week with my husband. No work, no nothing, just, you know, me, him, and my daughter. And it was what I needed, and it's what he needed. Because we were bypassing each other. He was going one way, I was going another way. And we had just a wonderful week. But I just want to thank your prayers. Thank you for your prayers for my little patient and everything. Because she's doing wonderful now. I mean, I'm about ready to tie a bell around her so I know what room she's in. I mean, I go in there and I go, what are you doing? And she goes, I don't know. And I'm like, well, stop. Slow down. So now, instead of telling her, come on, you can do it, I'm having to tell her to slow down now, because I can't keep up with her.
Sounds like we need to pray for Betty to have more speed and keep up with this lady. And, no, but you know what, though? But I want to take this opportunity, though, to thank everybody. You know, we send out prayer requests, and it is such a blessing. I mean, I think it was Thursday we sent out the one on your pastor friend Rick, and got a text back from him yesterday, and it was late in the day, and so I didn't want to share another text, but he's feeling, you know, he tested positive for COVID and was showing some symptoms, and he's much better, and that is such a blessing to be a part of that.
I felt like the Lord. No, just please forgive me. How many of you guys remember Chip and Vanessa? Okay. We just love them. They just stopped. They moved somewhere else in the state. They were here back for service, and it was just a wonderful time. Anyway, I got a text from Vanessa. Can we take a minute and pray? Chip's dad just died, and so can we just all. Just take a minute and pray for them right now. I'm so sorry. And then we'll just continue with the testimonies, okay? But we love them, even though they're not right here. And we love other folks that are here online. And we just want to pray for them. Father, we just lift up just Chip to you right now, Lord. And we just ask that you'd bring your peace and your perspective in his mind, your peace to his heart, Lord God. You would wash over him with the comfort of the Holy Spirit, Lord God, that you would give him strength where he needs strength, Lord God. You'd help him to do what it is that he needs to do with the grace, with your grace, Lord God, and not in frustration or anger or all the pressure, the stress that he's feeling, Lord God, that you would help him to help his mom and to take care of all that's going on right now. I'm sure it's very overwhelming for him. and you would just bless him, bless Vanessa, the kids, the family. Lord, help them to just direct all people in this situation, the whole family, right back to you, Lord God. So an extra measure of grace, extra measure of mercy, extra measure of protection on their hearts and minds, and lead them by your Holy Spirit and help them to be obedient. In the name of Jesus Christ, and we all say amen. Amen. Thank you guys for stopping to pray really quickly. Okay, all right. So these are wonderful testimonies, and I'm so glad that folks are coming up and sharing. That's fantastic. Who do we have next who would like to come up and share? Okay. We've got a couple, I see. Yep. Okay. Aslane, you want to come up? Okay. Then Peggy, you can go if you want to go after. You can. Okay.
Hello. So I want to give my testimony that I went through something ever since I was 13 years old. I used to have a sleepwalking problem, and there was this one time that when I used to live in Sarasota, I ended up sleepwalking all the way to 7-Eleven with bread by my side in a bag. I don't know what stuff was in my bag, but that happened, and I thought it was just some weird sleeping problem that I have, but then it happened again, but this time it was because when I was in sixth grade, I was in this public school that I always, like, dreamed of going to. And it turned out to be completely awful, and I was just with bad company. They had some, they love to talk about, like, this weird, dark stuff that I did not like. For example, one of my greatest fears is animatronics. I really do not like those things. So it went to the point that I got in major depression, and I actually attempted to commit suicide by taking sleeping pills. And apparently that might have caused me to sleepwalk once again, but 5 miles away from my house, and I woke up hearing sirens and police officers and I believe like a fire truck or ambulance, something like that, and I had this black makeup all over my face. I don't know. I also had a bag with me again, and I just ended up in an asylum because, well, I told them that I started seeing things in my dreams because I thought I was having just a nightmare. And my nightmare was that I was walking in a forest filled with fire and screaming children. Like, it was just screaming children. It wasn't hell or anything, but it was just horrific that I was running around in a forest fire and children screaming. So I went to the asylum, and I was given, like, anti-depression pills or something, but I think it just made me feel worse because I started seeing more and more figures that came from these stupid horror games that my friends showed me that had, like, I started seeing creepy, demonic things or, like, weird. Yeah, just something really demonic that really felt beyond unpleasant and unsettling. And so after a week of being in the asylum, I finally came out. And I was still seeing things, but it finally calmed down for, like, after that whole week. But what really made me scared about the asylum is that I did not have a Bible with me for a long time. And I was finally able to get a Bible, but still, I wanted my Bible that had important verses to me. And here's one of the verses that I really like that helps me calm down when I'm feeling uncomfortable, scared, or start seeing those dark figures again. It's in Joshua chapter 1, verse 9, if you want to look it up. It says, "Have I not commanded you, be strong and courageous, do not be afraid, do not be discouraged, for Lord your God will be with you wherever you go." And I really love to read that verse. I usually read it all night, like every night, because that's usually when I get attacked by those creepy figures. I still see them to this day, but still they're not as threatening as they were before. And I thank God for that, for protecting me through all that stuff.
Thanks, Angela. We thank God for protecting you, too. And I'm not going to have to ask who's next. She's walking up. Miss Peggy.
Can I put it here?
Yes. I have a short memory. Pastor Darren asked me to come and share, and I'm especially glad to share after hearing Aslan's testimony. Thank you. I identify. It was August the 23rd, 1949, when a woman lay on a delivery table, prepared to deliver a 6-pound, 6-ounce baby girl. That was me. And they named me Peggy. Actually, they gave me another name and actually put it on my baby beads. And it was a nickname. Maybe I shouldn't tell you it. Unless you promise you won't call me that. Well, it said caboose. And the reason it was caboose is because it was meant for the end of the train. Because you see, when I was born, I already was born into a family. And I had already 9 older sisters. And 7 older brothers. Now, if your math is real quick, that'll tell you that I was number 17 to the same mother and to the same father. And in fact, the day that I was born, I was an aunt. You might say, what is it like to be born in a family that size? Well, the truth was, most of them were already gone, and I already was an aunt, so I had nieces and nephews my same age. And the truth is, between the ages of my birth and up to 12, 13 years old, my memory was washed away. And the things that I do remember, I wished I could forget. My parents believed in God. There was no doubt about that. But God to me was somebody that somewhere sat in the heavens ready to zap and punish people. I heard God's name taken a lot. I even didn't know who Jesus was, but I heard his name used a lot. But it was always in anger and violence and cursing. And by this time, there was only 2 of us left at home, my sister Emma and me. And during those times of violence and anger, that would spill over. And we got that put on us sometimes. In fact, for my sister, often much worse than me. And raised in this environment, you become tough, you become rebellious, you become arrogant. There was a lot of things I was becoming I didn't like. To some people, we were just a poor family that lived in the mountains in Pennsylvania, low caste family. But that changed when I was 12, 13 years old. My dad got into a business that started giving money. And with the money came socializing with people. And where we socialized was all the bars and all the taverns. I still in my mind can see every bar and every tavern within 20 radius miles of my home. I've been in them. My sister had her problems there, but mine changed because I acquired a taste for alcohol. And from that time, my life was in a downward spiral. And I felt like the waters were up around my neck and I was drowning. School, I was failing school because of my attitude, because of my drugs, because of my smoking, getting caught at school, and because of my rebellion and because of my alcohol. I was failing school. My mother used to write notes to me and say, for the school, please excuse Peggy for being absent. She wasn't feeling well. Sometimes I wrote my own notes. I missed anywhere from 30 to 60 days a year of school. I got kicked out of a history class because I badmouthed the teacher. See, you don't know me like this. You know me as somebody else differently. But I'm sharing this because I want you to know what God brought me out of. I got kicked out of that class. I finally made it to 10th grade. I failed it, had to go to summer school, move away from home. But where I was, I had more access to alcohol than I ever had before. So I was continuing to go on downhill. My parents, I finally made it to my junior year. My parents tried to do everything they could for me. They got me to see a specialist, a doctor. I had one office visit with him. He kicked me out because I was so rude and made fun of his name. My heart was not right. Finally, I ran away from home. I was a missing person for a while. I caused a lot of grief to my parents and family. Finally, when I was discovered, I went back home to live with my parents for only a short time. But I said I didn't want to live there anymore, so a sister put me up in her home. I was a junior. I met a girl in school. Her name was Kathy Thornton. And this girl, I really liked her, but she had one problem. She was so vibrant for Jesus as a teenager, she shook the whole school. And she started talking with me. She phoned me on a Sunday, March the 20th, 1966. And she said, Peggy, why don't you come to church with me? And I said, Kathy, listen to me. I like you. But I told you, I don't want this God stuff in my life. And I hung the phone up on her. The sister I was staying with, she and her husband got into a fight. That's all I've ever known is fighting and arguing and violence and everything. So I called her back. Hey, I don't care where we're going. I just want to get out of the house. They came and they picked me up. I went to the church. Manchester, Pennsylvania, Pastor Bill Ritchie. And quite honestly, that pastor could have stopped preaching long before he finished his sermon. Because in the moments that he spoke, he opened my eyes to show me that he wasn't the God in heaven that just wanted to zap me, but he loved me. And then he shared Jesus and how much Jesus loved me. And he opened my eyes to show me that I was a sinner. And after he went through all the thing of raise your hand, come forward, I ran to that altar. And at that altar, I bowed down. And I said, Lord, I am so, so sorry for my life. And I haven't told you what I've been involved in because I don't want to give the devil glory. But my life was truly rock bottom as a teenager at 16 years old. And I said, Lord, I'm so sorry. God brought things to my mind. And I said, Lord, I'm sorry for every time I took your name in vain and I cursed you. I'm sorry. And then when I was at the altar for a long time, I wanted to read God's word. And all I'm going to do is tell you what happened to me. I didn't even have a Bible. I didn't take one to church. But on the front pew, there was that a chair, and there was a Bible on it. And I went and I picked that Bible up, and I flipped it open, and I saw red letter edition. I didn't know that's what it was called then. And I started to read it. And as I read it, I understood everything I read. And yet when it came out of my mouth, it came in another language that I didn't know. I didn't even understand what had happened to me. But my encounter that night was so spiritual and so real. I ran back to that altar. Do you know I spent 4 hours that night Everybody had gone home except the pastor and his wife, Kathy Thornton, and the people that took me to church. And at that altar, I went back and God spoke three things to me, and I'd like to tell you those three things. One, I was never to be with a boy that wasn't going to serve God like I had been. Those days were over. Number two, I would marry. And number three, I would go to the mission field. That was the night of my conversion. And after 48 years, I've just come off the mission field. I am so thankful to what God did in my life. On that night, March the 20th, 1966, I truly became a new creature in Jesus Christ. From that moment, I walked away from that altar. Old things passed away. Everything became new. I did not go back to my old lifestyle at all. And I just want to tell you this in conclusion of what happened after that. I told you I had 1 year of school left, now my senior year. During that senior year, where I had missed 30 to 50 days of school, I didn't miss any days, not one. Where I had been being called into the principal's office for my language to teachers and being thrown out of classroom, I again was called back into the principal's office. But this time it was, Peggy, what has happened to you? You're different. It was our last year of school. God chose me of all the students in my school, and I wasn't liked before, but now I wrote the school alma mater, Words and Music. I became the editor-in-chief of our yearbook. Everything turned around. And I'll tell you this, where I was failing, I could show you my report card. I graduated with 22 A's. On my report card. You see, the devil does come to steal and kill and destroy, and he starts it when we're young and we're teenagers. He comes to kill and steal and destroy, but Jesus came to give us life and life abundantly, and that is what I was experiencing. With my mom and dad, I asked them if I could come back home and live. They weren't believers. Because God showed me two things after I became a Christian. And I just want to share this briefly. One is a gift that he gave to me. It was the gift of forgiveness. Because God showed me I couldn't move forward if I didn't forgive the things that I always wanted to forget. The abuse I had, the pain I had. I chose to accept that gift. And God let me give it out to those that had hurt my life as a child. The other thing was this. God showed me that if I did not honor my parents, and they weren't Christians, but I would go nowhere in my life if I did not respect and honor my parents. And that is an awesome thing to show a teenager at 16 years old. But I said, how do I do it, God? And God showed me. And I'm just going to tell you this. It came to a place where both of my parents accepted Jesus Christ as their Lord and Savior. And the day I walked in a hospital room and I heard my mom look up to me and say, Peggy, I now know what it means to be born again. God changed me. He's changed different family members. Nieces, nephews have come to know Christ. I am so thankful for knowing Christ as my Lord and Savior. And I'd like to say, if anybody's listening online or you're here, if you haven't given your life to Jesus Christ, I'm asking you as a young person or an older person to give your life to him. He really will make that an abundant life. There's so many stories I could tell you, but God is good, and I am thankful for the opportunity to know him as my Lord and my Savior.
Wow. Praise the Lord. Well, we're going to have to probably get close to wrapping up here. And so, just unsure, what I've been doing over here in the corner is just praying, Lord, do I, is there, Do I offer one more to come up, or do I just, do we break out? And I really don't know. I don't have an answer, so I'm not sure what to do. So I'm just going to ask if anybody feels very led to come up here and share, then I want to give one more. I would like you to come. Okay, then come. Maybe we'll have a couple more and we'll just all be patient. How about that? Okay, is that okay, guys? I know we're hungry. I know we got kids. All right, please, let me get out of your way. It's okay. Just want to make sure if the Lord has something to say that we hear it.
I'm Delina, and it's good to be in the fellowship of the Lord. I am here representing God's grace and mercy and His loving kindness and compassion. For I grew up a preacher's daughter. I grew up loving the Lord with all my heart, with all my soul, with all my mind. So I thought. It wasn't until recently that I realized that my dependence was more on myself and my self-sufficiency. That I had climbed quite a throne of self-pity and blame. That my identity was in what I had done or was doing and not in what God was having me become. And little by little, as I surrendered, and I mean not easy, but on my knees, and we learned this in our women's group, on my knees and surrender before the Lord to please change me. Did He begin to answer that prayer? Ezekiel 36, 25 and 26. Delina, congregation, God says, I will sprinkle clean water on you and you will be clean. I will cleanse you from all of your impurities and from all your idols. My idol of self-sufficiency, my idol of godliness, my idol of faithfulness, my idol of good works. I'm going to take all of that away. I will give you a new heart, and I will put a new spirit within you. I will remove from you your heart of stone, and I will give you a heart of flesh. Oh, how great is the love of the Lord that He has lavished His loving kindness to say, I love you too much, Delina, to leave you the way you are. So I want to take your heart. Now, the thing about a surgeon and heart surgery is that, one, you got to be willing to do it. And two, it's painful. So He chose to take me out of teaching and to put me through a series of treatments for my kidneys for a year. I'm in my second year of leave of absence from work. And in so doing, He said, I, the great surgeon, am going to take your heart of stone out, and I'm going to put in a heart of flesh, that you will have my compassion, that you will have my grace, that you will represent my glory. And Jesus has been so faithful, and it has been so painful. But in surrender to Him, on bended knee, He has been so glorious and victorious. So my brain can't remember much. So here we go, next index card. That was just the first one. We've got more to go. It says, and I did not want to come up here, but yesterday in my quiet time in Psalm 40, it said, and David spoke, he said, I have told the glad news of deliverance in the great congregation. Behold, I have not hidden your deliverance that has happened within my heart. I have spoken of your faithfulness and of your salvation. This is good news. Because I had to be delivered from, and here's the top four, five, six, self-pity. Why do all these things happen to me? Why am I not loved? Why did someone violate me? Why did someone abuse me? Why have I been so neglected? All these self-pity things to his victory. From unforgiveness to letting go and surrender. From self-sufficiency to trusting in God. From my misplaced identity into who God says I am. That was huge. I'm not a teacher. I'm not a wife. I'm not a daughter. I'm not a friend. I am who God says I am. And that makes all the difference. Because I've gone from a human doing to a human being. And who Christ has making me become in his likeness. And from, here's the big one, from people pleasing to doing what God's pleased about. So my prayer was, Lord, I pray, help me put aside the weight that so easily entangles and burdens me so that I can walk uprightly and truthful in your narrow path. My prayer for you is in my favorite verse of scripture in Jude 24 and 25. Now to him who is able to keep you from stumbling, to present you blameless before the presence of his glory with great joy. Maybe we all miss that part. He presents us blameless with great joy. To the only God, our Savior, through Jesus Christ, our Lord, be glory, majesty, dominion, and authority before all time and now and forever. Thank you for letting me share.
Okay. If you want to. If you want to be obedient to the Lord, how about that? That's very scary. You can do it. I will stand right here.
Absolutely. Mm-hmm.
Father, if it's your will, Lord, that you want Kayla to speak right now, I pray in Jesus' name that you would give her just strength and confidence. And if it's not, Lord, I pray that she would be no guilt at all. Father, in Jesus' name, Lord, that she would just go back and you have another time and another place for her to speak, and that's okay. So we just ask for your will to be done here, no matter what happens, in Jesus' name. Thing I do feel is very thankful, because what I see right now is a lot of people with their heads bowed praying. See, that's wonderful. And I see a lot of patient people, not a lot of impatient people, just loving on her and praying for her and what God would have her to do. I think that's wonderful. Thank you for this incredible body who I just see you doing that. And honestly, whatever the Lord leads right now, it's 100% okay. While you're thinking and praying, I'm just going to share this gospel message, because God created each one of us to be with him for a personal relationship with him, for an intimate, life-changing relationship with him, not just so we can wear a t-shirt or put a bumper sticker on her car, go to a Christian school, youth group, for a life-changing relationship. Our sin separates us from a holy God. I mean, it's God's trying to speak to us. He wants to have this relationship, and it's us going, la, 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 can't hear you, don't want to listen to you, just like Peggy was saying. It's that rebelliousness, or putting our hope, our faith in ourselves, like Delaney was saying. It's exactly, you know, but maybe God is calling you back, like Brett. Maybe it's for the first time, or maybe God's calling you back. That sin is separating you from that intimate relationship. But Jesus paid that price for our sin, and he rose again from the dead so that we could live. We could actually have an abundant life. And that doesn't mean we're rich or something like that with money things. It means we're rich in the Lord. And it says in the Bible that everyone who trusts in him will have eternal life. That whoever so would believe in him. Can I tell you something? I'm a whosoever. Hallelujah. All these stories are not abnormal stories. They're normal stories. We're all broken, knucklehead, self-centered people apart from Jesus Christ. That's the truth. You're not the oddball. You're just like the rest of us. We are all in need of a Savior. And anyone who trusts in him will have eternal life. And that life with Jesus starts right now. It starts today when you cry out to him, just as Peggy did, or just like Delaney, or just like Brett did, turning around, seeing a transformation, whatever. And it lasts forever. That's amazing. God is reaching out to you right now. That's a beautiful thing. So regardless of whether she shares a testimony or not, you make today that day that you say that and cry out to him in your heart, Lord, whatever it takes. And I'm so sorry. I don't even remember who. Maybe it was Delaney with the heart surgery. That was really good. Spoke to me. But, you know, you can't have heart surgery, right? And well, I don't remember what she said now, but until you accept it or go and do it, right? It just won't happen. You have to ask, I'm ready, I'll do it, whatever it takes, Lord. If you will cry out to him and that's your heart cry, he will hear you from heaven and he will reach down and start working. And he won't quit until it's finished. He who began a work in you is faithful to complete it until the day of Christ Jesus. Amen? Amen. Okay, so either way right now, if you would like to, yes. If you would like to, no, it's okay. Just tell me what you would like.
So I struggled a lot with depression and not feeling enough for people. So for many years I was very very suicidal and felt like I wasn't enough for people.
George, can you turn that mic down a little bit so it doesn't squeal like that? Thanks. Kayla's, thanks. Keep going.
And for a long time I was angry at God because I didn't know why he was letting me go through it. And because I was angry, I hurt a lot of people. And ruined a lot of relationships and went away for a while. I stopped going to youth group because I was angry and I didn't want to be here. And so after years of just being severely depressed and whatever, I told my parents I was going to kill myself one day and left. And Pastor Darren came and found me and talked with me for a while and after that, I knew that I couldn't keep doing what I was doing. So I met with Gary and him for a while and talked, and I got on medication, which is not for everyone, but it's what I needed to get on for a while. And so the past month that I've been on it, I think it's the first time in my entire life that I haven't wanted to die. And that I feel that I'm enough for people. And that it was for a reason.
Thank you. Give me one second. Now, each one of these testimonies that you're hearing are real. They're raw, right? They're not, you know, this is just real people, real life right now. And a real God who reaches down and saves people and helps people. That's who he is. And it says that God is going to work all things to the good. And listen, if the puzzle pieces don't make sense and it's not fitting yet, that means he's not done working on you. Amen? You can trust him. And some of these times, we can't see him quite clearly as others, okay? That's just the truth. But he is working, baby. And he is reaching out to you in the name of Jesus Christ to pull you back in because he loves you. Isn't that awesome? And he is not finished with you. He is not done. He loves you and he cares about you. So thank you. And I'm just going to pray a blessing of protection upon each person that came up and spoke today. And then we're going to go out and we're going to have lots of food. And the kids are going to jump on bounce houses for about 11 hours. And it's going to be a great time. Okay? But listen, let's pray for each person that was bold enough to speak. And let's pray blessings over them, because God says you are wonderfully made. You know what I'm saying? So let all that other stuff slip away. Maybe something that somebody said here will have spoken to you in the name of Jesus Christ, or you at home. So let's pray. Father, in the name of Jesus Christ, we ask for your angelic protection over each person that came and shared their testimony, because they were testifying about you, Jesus, and what you have done. Bless them, Lord God. Thank you for them, Lord God. Protect them. Be a shield round about them, Lord God. Protect them from the evil one. Continue to cup their face in your hands, Lord God, and direct their eyes to you. Help them to fix their eyes on Jesus, the starter and the finisher of their faith, Lord God, so that they don't get discouraged, Lord God. Lord, I pray in Jesus' name that you would give them great confidence, not in themselves or in their abilities, but in who you are, that they can trust in you completely, wholly, Lord God. And we stand with them in prayer, Lord God. So strengthen them, nourish them, encourage them, challenge them, direct them, whatever your Holy Spirit would lead them to do, or who you want them to be, Lord God, or to become, or to realize. We pray for that, Lord. We thank you for every person here in this body that came out, and the folks that came out today, and the folks listening at home, your blessing, Lord God. Thank you for them being patient, Lord God, with each person who spoke. We thank you for all the food that's here. We pray that everybody would have a good time of fellowship, Lord God. Thankful for you, and have fun on those bounce houses, Lord God. We pray for minimal injuries with the kids, or how about no injuries with the kids? How about that, Lord? We pray for your blessing on this church and this body in the name of Jesus Christ. And all God's people together said, amen, 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 you guys. We love you. Go out, have some food, have some fellowship in the back, and play on those bounce houses. We love you. Have a great week in Jesus Christ's name. And thank you again.